Jared Smith is joining us now, professional bettor and lead betting analyst for PicksWise. Jared, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Oh, Matthew, appreciate you having me.
I appreciate you taking the time. An incredibly busy time right now. I was wondering, what were some of your biggest takeaways from the wild card weekend in like relation to what they could mean for this coming weekend?
So, biggest takeaway for me from wild card weekend, certainly the teams that are good are really good. And I think you saw the big gap in talent amongst, I don't want to say that teams didn't deserve to make the playoffs because, you know, the seventh team, I'm in favor of more playoff games, just like I'm in favor of more bowl games. I love betting. I love watching football.
Hell yeah.
I'm not going to say, oh, this team doesn't deserve to be here. We should get, you know, make the playoff field down to six. But that being said, I think it was obvious when you look at a team like the Eagles, when you look at a team like the Steelers, there were some issues with just the ability to handle the big stage. And especially even a team like the Cardinals, who were seeded fifth and had a great start to the year, you know, they weren't ready for that stage. I think the gap in teams that not only are physically prepared, because obviously all of the teams at this level are physically prepared, even the teams at the bottom of the NFL, even the Jets, are physically gifted. They're athletes. They're professional athletes. It's the mental approach that I think separates it. You guys cover this a lot too, north of the border, when it comes to playoff hockey. In my opinion, there is no greater difference in any sport between the regular season and the postseason as there is in the NHL. You can tell the intensity, the level of execution that it takes for a team to perform at their peak level. It just gets ratcheted up in the postseason. It was on display, the teams that were ready for that and the teams that weren't, and the teams that weren't got blown out pretty handily.
Yes, and the most predictable one, obviously, was the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think that's one we all saw coming, and that just felt like such easy money, even though there was like no scoring in the first quarter. Which of the teams do you think we're going to overreact to the most going into this weekend?
I think there's going to be a lot of hype on the Bills after what we saw Saturday night. Obviously, they've been a team. It's really hard to figure out when you have a team like the Bills facing a team like the Chiefs that are two very public bet teams, especially Kansas City. And then you get a team like Buffalo that does what they did and just blow the doors off. High-scoring game of the week, obviously, in terms of a single scoreline from one team. And then you pick that team the following week against a team like the Chiefs that are such a highly bet team with Patrick Mahomes. And, oh, by the way, Kansas City's laying less than a field goal. So I'm curious. That's the game to me. I'm fascinated which side the public, you know, really decides to push the chips in the middle on because that could affect the line. Another thing about that game that interests me, it's the last game of the four. So you're going to have a lot of people after Saturday night, Sunday afternoon that are going to try to make up some losses perhaps. And that will accelerate the market as well. I think early in the week, I've already seen a lot of handle come in on Tennessee. The Titans have been pushed now to 3.5. That's an angle to keep an eye on as well because of the Bengals' defensive line issues, and it's not a good week for them to have defensive line issues considering they're facing basically a human battering ram in the backfield with Derrick Henry coming back. We'll see how Derrick Henry looks after not playing for 2 months. But I think those are the two games that are really fascinating to me because you do have one side with Buffalo and Kansas City that I'm not really sure which side the public's going to be on at this stage, and then another side with Tennessee and Cincinnati, which I'm fairly certain most of the money's going to come in on Tennessee, which would open up an angle for Cincinnati, but I just think the matchup is really bad for the Titans. So those are two games I'm curious to see where the market kind of, you know, pushes early on, and that'll probably dictate my action a little bit later in the week.
Yeah, I think, and we'll stick with Tennessee-Cincinnati for a second. We could spend the whole time just talking about Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. But, but if I'm looking, and the thing is, we forget what happens after a game is done. We move on to the next controversy and referees and the Cowboys and all that. But the Raiders, they move the ball all over the Bengals, and it's not just Derrick Henry is back. It's the fact that I know Julio Jones isn't great. Was not had a great year this year, but he's healthy and A.J. Brown is healthy. When the Titans lost to the Jets, they were without all their wideouts. All their wideouts are back. So even at 3.5, I'm still liking the Tennessee Titans because of their health, and the Bengals defense just didn't look great.
Totally agree. I think, to me, when you look at the Titans, they're not a team that's very sexy. They're not a team that is going
no.
to draw a lot of public action like a Mahomes, like a Brady, or even like a Josh Allen, because they do it a lot with smoke and mirrors. Their defense actually has played real. I haven't really dug into their defensive metrics yet, you know, in my full. I usually do a lot of research tonight and tomorrow, and then we do a show on Wednesdays. So I'll really dive into their analytics on defense later tonight. But just off cursory glance, I think it's really hard to look at some of their results from earlier this year and really draw any conclusions from it. And I think when you look at the Bengals situation, I think Cincinnati is a team that likes to throw the ball deep down the field. They like to get their receivers involved early. And I'm worried that they might be a little too one-dimensional in this game. And that, you know, obviously if they're behind, they're going to have to throw. But I'm concerned that it's going to make Mike Vrabel's job a little easier in
yep.
terms of scheming for this Bengals offense. The Bengals defense is going to struggle in this game. I would be shocked if the Bengals defense is able to hold the Titans rushing offense and very physical offensive line in check. That means the answer on who's going to cover the spread is, will Joe Burrow be able to have enough success to go above the expectation and keep this game close? That to me is going to be the interesting matchup, and I'll dive a little deeper into the Titans defensive analytics probably a little later tonight, but my initial reaction says no, and this is a Titans line that probably does get the four.
Yeah, and I'm kind of liking the over a little bit more and more just hearing you give that that answer. He is the leading betting analyst for PicksWise. We're joined by Jared Smith. You can follow him on Twitter at Jared Lee Smith. And we'll end with Buffalo, Kansas City. But my initial question was things from last weekend that could impact this weekend. To me, maybe the biggest one was the injuries to Bosa and Fred Warner on the 49ers. Green Bay started as a 4.5-point favorite. I'm seeing it now. It moved up a point to 5.5. Your initial early thoughts on this game, and that San Fran could be without, you know, two blue-chip defensive players.
I think Warner will play, based on what I'm hearing and seeing. I think Bosa will likely clear concussion protocol, too, and I'm not concerned about his effectiveness because usually when it's a concussion, it's just kind of going through the protocols, and it's not going to impact his range of motion. Or, you know, with Warner with an ankle, you'd be a little bit concerned. And I honestly heard some bad things about Jimmy G. And I think that hand shoulder situation is something to keep an eye on too. It's going to be cold in Lambeau this week. Obviously, it's always cold in Lambeau, right? You guys know those temperatures up in that part of the country, in that part of the region. It can get a little bit blustery this time of year, right? But on the other side, the Niners do have a recipe to stop that, which is run the ball. So I'll be keeping a very close eye on the injury reports for all three of those guys, Bosa, Warner, and Jimmy G this week. But I think when you look at the Packers' defense, they might get Smith back, Za'Darius Smith. They might get Jaire Alexander back. That's great. But they haven't been able to stop the run a lot this year. And that is, to me, the recipe for San Francisco to keep this game close. If the Jimmy G news is bad and that line goes to 7, that would be probably where I would be interested in the Niners, because sometimes that injury news can be a little overblown. But I'll keep a very close eye on the practice reports this week. But I'm worried about the Packers stopping the run. And I think the Niners can be effective in that area. We saw how effective they were on Sunday against the Cowboys, who also similar issues stopping the run, especially the back half of the year. So it's going to be, can this Packers defense bow up and make Jimmy G beat them? And if they can do that, I think the Packers win this game handily.
Oh yeah, if Jimmy's pass attempt number hits 30 or above, I think Green Bay wins. I think Green Bay covers. And yeah, the shoulder sprain for Garoppolo, but is expected to play against Green Bay. But today is Tuesday. We still got a bunch of days till then. Are you surprised? And I'm looking at it to see if it's changed, and it hasn't. That Kansas City, the traditional route is, if two teams are evenly matched, the home team gets 3 points. Kansas City opened as a 2.5-point favorite against Buffalo. I'm seeing it at 2.5 all over the place. I'm seeing one house at just 2. Your thoughts on Kansas City not getting the traditional 3 points against Buffalo?
Well, there's a saying that I used to read growing up. If you, those who forget history are doomed to repeat it, something along those lines.
Yep.
So this line, the opening of this line, is very much a carbon copy with some added context from what we saw back in week five, which was the Bills opening as a 3-point underdog in Kansas City. It was a primetime game. We all know the outcome. Buffalo went in and they just housed them. That being said, all of the smart money that week was on Buffalo. And I think the sports books learned their lesson. I think they said, we are not going to allow the smart money to come in on Buffalo once again at the full three. We are going to make the smart, the sharp bettors make a decision on this Bills team. Are they going to win the game in Kansas City? Not just cover, not just get the full three, which is obviously a key number. Are they going to win the game in Kansas City? That is the decision that sportsbooks are making, all the bettors, not just the sharp bettors. But obviously, when the sportsbooks release an opening line like this, they're releasing it to the sharp bettors first. And the smart money will then dictate where the line move goes. They are making a clear position that we are going to make you bet the Bills basically money line if you're going to bet the Bills this week. And I think that's the smart move because I think the Bills are still going to take some smart money this week. But I would imagine the Chiefs, if this gets down to one and this gets down to a money line price, that's probably in the minus 120, minus 125 range. I think that's where you'll see Kansas City money step in. And I lean Chiefs here. I think the total's fascinating, too. We saw it tick up a couple of points. I think the books are going to need the under big. So that's something if you're looking to fade the public, really, this week, I'd say the under would be the way to go. But that being said, the AFC Championship game last year landed on 62, 38-24 Chiefs. And in that game earlier this year, the total closed 57, and it landed 58. Bills won 38-20. So, you know, the fact that it's still under that total leads me to believe that, you know, one of these teams is probably hitting 30. So that means can the other team get to 24, 25? I would say yes. And I would say the as public as it sounds, I find it hard. I don't see a lot of paths unless the red zone defenses are really stellar in this game that this game doesn't get to at least, you know, 55, 60.
It's so true. Like, as a general rule, especially for someone like yourself, who've been a professional bettor for so long, the last thing you want to do is go along with the public. And the biggest public play this weekend is going to be over because you're just going to see Allen and Mahomes, and you're going to see Buffalo, what they did to the New England defense with no punts, no fourth downs, and you're going to be all over it. Like, I'm the same way. I want to take the over, but I'm scared. Like, if we're all going in one direction, doesn't that mean the other direction is what usually happens?
Yeah, the contrarian in me, I'm a contrarian by nature. Maybe it's just the way my mom raised me, but I'm always trying to find angles. And it does reflect a lot in my betting style because I tend to bet on sports. I like betting a lot of hockey. I like betting a lot of soccer. And I do like fading the public a lot in the NFL, sports that don't get a ton of attention. So I think when you look at this game, though, it's all about game script. It's all about which team is going to try to establish the run, which is neither. And that, to me, is the biggest undercase. Is our team's going to try to play ball control and keep the other offense off the field? Yes, if it was the Bills against the Steelers or if it was the Bills against the Titans, but it's not. It's the Bills against the Chiefs. Both teams want to use their offense as the weapon, their high-octane offense, not their ground-and-control offense. So it's a stylistic game where two teams that are very similar, play similar styles, are going to kind of pair up against each other. Here's the one point that I'll give you to the under that, or to the over that I think is interesting to me. So the Chiefs actually, the defense is playing pretty well down the stretch. They've only given up 16.2 points per game over their last 11, but how about the quarterbacks they face? Daniel Jones, Jordan Love, Derek Carr twice, Big Ben twice, Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Locke, Dak Prescott without Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. The quarterbacks that they faced that were worth their weight, Burrow, 34 points against the Bengals. They lost that game. Herbert had 28 points. That game went to overtime. And they were down late, and they had to come back and win, the Chiefs. So I think this game's going to get into the 30s in some capacity. I would be shocked if a team didn't reach 30. So then again, you're betting on the team that doesn't reach 30 to hit 24-25, and then you're over cashes. So I think that is a fair bet, although I would expect the number to rise throughout the week because you're right, the public will likely continue to hammer this over as the days wear on.
Jared, really appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining the show today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, take care. Good luck in the research, and have a fantastic day. That was Jared Smith.